So this month, we're starting off with a new series today. Then we'll pause for next week. Next week is an entirely different time. Then we'll continue again after next week. So the series that we're looking at is what I've called This Thing Called Love. When I put it in the church group chat, some people did like some claps and all that. And I said, oh, I know the people who did that. They want us to talk about love. So I'm going to be looking at love from a, 360 degree view. So we're looking at love, this thing called love, love and relationships. Love and relationships. So we're going to be exploring, like I mentioned earlier, love from a 360 degree view. I'll lay the foundation today as we look at God, as we look at love in the context of God. But as we go along, we're going to look at other things as well in the context of love and relationships. So for example, someone might be like, okay, how do I know who to marry? How should I choose? If someone comes up to me and says, oh, they like me and all that, how do I, you know, from a biblical perspective, understanding what love means and relationships from God's perspective, how do I deal with that? We take that a step further and we look at being single. I mean, can you be single and happy? I mean, what does it mean when you're single? What does, love and relationship mean in that context as well? We're going to look at that. And you guys know that I'm very simple in my approach. So we look at it simply from an everyday life perspective, but also from a biblical perspective. And I remember there was a conference at our London church. I think it was during the COVID time, or just after, during the COVID time. So there was this questions and answers thing online. It was on Zoom. So I dialed in, everybody from all the branches dialed in as well. I think it was a women's conference for one of our branches. And they had all these questions about, this about marriage, that about love, single moms, single moms, and all these things. And they had this row of questions. And I just snuck in a question in there. And the question was, you guys are talking about single moms. How about single dads? I'm a single dad. Don't I fall in any category here? So what I'm just saying is this. We'll look at singleness from all those aspects as well. If you're a single mom or single dad, what does that mean for you? What are the challenges that you face? What does God have to say about that? Do you understand? And I was telling someone I've been quite a lot of things, married, single dad, single, so quite a lot. So we look at and explore those things as well. How about marriage? How can I live a married life that is fulfilling? What are the basic components of that as well? And I was telling someone that, look, I just did like a random search on the internet. I don't remember what it was. Something like love and relationships or something. And I was so surprised by the millions and millions of results that I got. Apparently, a lot of people have love and relationship really high on their list. In fact, I just saw the comment of one man, and this man says, I'm 80, and I'm still hoping to get the love of my life. So it's a big deal. Seriously, it's a big deal. That's why we want to look at it. Then we'll progress and look at it. So how about if one is separated? How about if one is divorced? What does that mean? What does that mean in the context of love and relationship? How do you deal with that? So we'll look at all these things in the next 6 or so weeks. Then I'm sure you're going to bring someone along. In fact, what I was planning to do is like just print a card of this series, bring it after. Now, I won't interrupt next week. After next week, I'll bring a card for everyone and I'll distribute it. I'll give each and every one of us 2 cards each. And the Sunday after that, I'll stand at the door and I'll say, who did you bring? That's your entry into this church. Just kidding. Don't say, I'm not going to turn up because Pastor said that. I'll come and look for you at home. But bring someone who you think might be might benefit from this. So looking at love and relationships, I'm going to be looking at a few points this morning. But before I do that, I want us to look at the story of a man in the Bible, Peter. I'll read through the life, well, I'll just pick a number of things with regards to Peter in the Bible, and we'll now look at the part that love plays, first of all, in our relationship with God. And as we look at that, we'll be able to, as we go along in the next few weeks, reflect that same thing into our love and relationship in whatever capacity we find ourselves. So we'll look at that. So I'm going to read the story of Peter. We looked at Peter last week, and I think the week before. And I think someone was saying, man, what's up with this Peter man? We're going to look at Peter again today. So I'm just going to pick three things. Well, I'm going to look at three areas of the life of Peter. Then I'll make the points I want to make this morning with regards to love and relationship, starting with God as the first focal point. So Peter was, he was really out there. I mean, this was a man that, I mean, if he were alive today, he'd be on social media with Jesus, with, you know, selfies, everywhere with Jesus. He loved Jesus so much. And we see a number of things about the life of this man. I look at three areas of his life. The first thing is that this man was the first person that caught the revelation of Jesus Christ. If you look at Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 to 17, there it says, Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi. He asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? They replied, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, still others Jeremiah, and one of the prophets. What about you? He asks, what do you say I am? So Jesus is asking him this question. And he says, Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. So this was a man that understood when everybody was still trying to guess who Jesus was. They were just saying, okay, you're the prophet, you're this, you're that. He was spot on. Amen. Jesus told him, yes, no one has revealed this to you, my Father in heaven. I mean, looking at the life of this man, Matthew chapter 14, verses 26 to 27, Jesus was walking on water and the disciples were in a boat. It says, Matthew 14, 26 to 29, when the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and they cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage, it is I, do not be afraid. Lord, if it is you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Come, he said. Then Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came towards Jesus. I mean, I was just saying that in this church, they like selfies quite a lot. In fact, someone was saying that, man, you guys are always snapping. So this was a selfie moment. Imagine Jesus walking on and Peter walking on water. You guys will have brought your cameras out. Peter, just hang on. Snap, 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 snap. I mean, this man was really out there. You know, they must have been talking about him. They must have been saying, man, I want to be like Peter, walking on water. Wow. Then we look at him further in Matthew chapter 26, verse 35. It says, Peter declared, even if I were to die with you, I would never disown you. And all the disciples said the same. This was a man that was ready to die for Jesus. He was ready to die with Jesus. And he said, look, all these people, they might deny you, they might, and all those things, but me, never. I will never do that. I'll never deny you. And he meant it, I believe, at that point. So we see a man who was on fire for God. A man who was like really sold out. And you're saying, where am I going with this point? Hold it and hang on. I'll tell you where I'm going with the point. Why am I making this point so strongly this morning? We're looking at love in the context of God. So hang that in your mind for a moment. We are looking at love in the context of God. Then we look at the another area of the life of Peter. We're looking at three areas. Matthew chapter 26, verses 69 to 75. I won't read it. This is the story of where Peter denies Jesus vehemently. The Bible says he denied Jesus three times. The last time he denied Jesus, he began to even swear to emphasize the point that he was making, that this Jesus, I don't know him at all. I do not know him. I've never seen him in my life. Now, so we see a man who is sincere, who loves God, a man who would do anything for God, a man who is so zealous. Then this happens to him. When this happens to him, that was the end for him, he thought. I'll read the next part. But something begins to happen in the life of Peter. As he's going through that point in his life, Jesus comes to him and restores him. And it's interesting that the question that Jesus asked him, one of the questions that Jesus asked him, John chapter 21, verse 15. John chapter 21, verse 15. It says, when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, and I'll stop there. Jesus asks him this question a number of times. Then after that, Peter's life continues. He goes back into the will of God, and the rest is history. Now, I want to make a number of points. So the first point I want to make this morning is that love is the foundation of our walk with God. Love is the foundation of our walk with God. Jesus said something in Matthew chapter 22, verse 37. Matthew chapter 22, verse 37. It says, Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. So, looking at this phrase, a couple of people come to Jesus and they're asking him all sorts of questions. What must I do to be great? How can I serve you? How can I participate in the church? What can I do? Can I be like an usher? Can I join the choir? What can I do, Jesus, just to participate in what you're doing? And people are asking him from a genuine place. They want to do something with Christ. They want to live for him. And he says something. In the midst of all these things that he was saying, he pointed out something that is so fundamental. And he mentions to them in Matthew 22, 37, that the very first thing, all this excitement that you have is great, and I appreciate it. But this is the first thing that you must establish in your life. This is the first thing that you must establish in your life. So the first point I'm making from alluding to the life of Peter is this, and to our own lives as well, that we must first of all start from the place of love for Christ. We must start from a place of love for Christ. And the reason is this, which is the second point that I want to make. It is your love for Christ and your understanding of the love that Christ has for you that will get you through this Christian walk successfully. I repeat, it is your love for Christ and your understanding of the love that God has for you that will get you through this Christian race successfully. Now, you might get through this Christian race not understanding that, and that's, you know, God will help you and I. But if your walk with God is going to be exciting, if it's not going to be dreary, if it's not going to be something that is like a grind, then you must understand this. And this must be the basis. So we begin to see the life of a man here who was zealous. He was on fire. He loved God. And he hit a major road bump in his life. And as far as he was concerned, that was it. It was over. The Bible tells us that after that, he just went fishing with his mates. Did I say mates? He went fishing. Went back to what he was doing before. He was like, man, this Christianity thing is just a bit too much. This Pastor Benson is hassling us too much. Come for prayer. Come for this. I've done all that. And see where it has landed me. I have denied Christ. Is too much. And he just said, well, I'll just go fishing. I'll go back to my normal, you know, I don't want any of this, you know, I'll just come to church on a Sunday before the service ends, just go home, have my Sunday dinner. I don't want all this thing, you know, this is just too much because I just will disappoint Christ again and again. So, what am I saying as the second point here? The second point is this. If you and I base our whole life on what we can do for Christ, which is great, when such a person hits a road bump, it's likely that their life will unravel because as far as they're concerned, that's it. You know, this friend of mine came, this guy was telling me something that I learned from. He said that he was married to he had been married for a bit, and he was always out there working really hard to provide for his family. He was there here getting his wife gifts and all these things, and just really, really, you know, trying to make things work, making sure that his family was like comfortable, making sure that his wife was not stressed at all. And he was like, there, don't worry, I'm just going to work as hard as I can. I'll take a number of jobs. You just, you know, chill and all that. I just want to make sure. And he did this for a bit. Then his wife called him one day and said, sweetheart, I just want to have a word with you. And I'm not quite sure how he reacted. Depending on how she mentioned that, I want to have a word with you. You know, it could mean so many things. But in this case, he sat down and she said to him, you know, I really appreciate everything that you're doing for this family. I appreciate that you work so hard. I appreciate that you're, you know, just trying to make sure that we're fine. But even though I appreciate all those things and I really thank you for those things, there's one thing that I really need from you. And he was like, tell me, do you want me to do all the dishes for the next 1 year? Do you want me to, what, tell me what it is. You want me to climb, what's the name of that mountain? That high one, Everest. No, so I'm not going to climb Everest. I'll climb that little one. Do you want me to climb that mountain? Tell me what it is. And he was expecting her to say something out there. And she said, look, all I want from you is for you to just spend time with me. And that's it. And the guy was confused. He said, spend time with you? What do you mean by that? Just spend time with me. That's all I want. So the same thing, people came to Jesus and they were saying, tell us what we must do. Tell us. And Jesus refers them to Matthew 22:37. And he says, relax. I appreciate everything that you do for me. You're an usher, you're a choir person, but there's one thing I want that is the foundation. That you love me with all your heart and with all your mind. So you're not asking the question, like the guy was saying, what does that have to do? Telling his wife, what? You know, you want me to spend time with you? I thought you were going to say something groundbreaking. Because I believe that Jesus made this point to them and to Peter that, look, Willpower, your commitment to serve me, underline commitment, your desire to do things for me, all those things are great, but it is only love that can sustain that. It is only love that can sustain that. So we see in the life of Peter here that when he hit the road bump in his life, Jesus came back to him and there was something Jesus began to tell him. And the question Jesus was asking to refresh his mind about Matthew chapter 22, 37 was, he says, do you love me? He says, do you love me? Do you love me? So, what does that really mean in context? What's the big deal? Well, the big deal is this. It is love that will push you to inconvenience yourself to obey Christ. It is love that will push a spouse to inconvenience himself or herself for their spouse. It is love that will push you when your child is, 3 months, and they are eating every 3 hours, and you're exhausted. You can't even, you haven't had a full night's rest for 2 weeks. They're just eating. The time you want to fall asleep is like, oh, you hear the cry, they're hungry. It is love that will make you push yourself. Get up from that bed, make the, make whatever it is they eat, and it's love. So Jesus begins to make us understand something here, that when we have the foundation of love for Christ, then everything else follows, not the other way around. Now, am I saying that we shouldn't strive to want to do things for God? We should. But I think if we put the cart before the horse, then I can almost tell you that this Christian walk might not be enjoyable for that kind of individual, because it becomes transactional. It becomes, God, I did this, so you must answer my prayer. Come on. It's just like, it's like my son coming to me now and saying, Dad, I've done this. When I say my son, I'm talking about in the third person, not you. So, I mean, generally speaking, your son. Oh, Dad, I have, mowed the lawn. Now I've been good. Now you must buy me, what is it? What?
Buy me a
Jeep. Yes, do you hear that? Buy me a Jeep. I'm the one that needs Jeep. Buy me a Jeep. You'd be like, hang on, I mean, what's all this about? What's all this about? So, I'll make one or two more points, then we'll pray. So we're talking about love as the foundation for our relationship with God. And for everything, we'll look at what love means in context next time. But I'm just establishing the foundation here. That number one, love is the foundation of our relationship with Christ. Number two, it is love that will get you and I over the line, even when we don't want to, we don't feel like doing whatever it is that God has asked us to do, or it's so inconvenient, or when we hit roadblocks in life, it is love that gets us through. And the last thing I just want to mention is this. Not putting the cart before the horse, but putting the horse before the cart, which means when we get that, when we really understand, as Jesus wants us to understand, that love is the foundation of everything that he wants us to, is the foundation of our relationship with him, Then the third and final point I want to make is John chapter 14 and verse 15 begins to happen in our lives. So the third thing is this, John 14, 15. It says, if you love me, keep my commandments. So what does this mean? This means that as your love for Christ deepens and grows, automatically you will do everything naturally possible to please him. So it won't be, if I don't do this, God is going to punish me. It's not going to be, if I do this, God will bless me. If I do this, God will do this for me. It takes your relationship above that to the point where you obey God because you love him. You obey Jesus because you love him. Not because you're going to get anything from him. Not because he's going to answer your prayer, which he does. Not because he's going to do anything, which he does. But because you love him. But if your love and your, if we do not like really focus on asking God to help us to really love him, then we're going to like really struggle, I believe. Yeah, we'll struggle once in a while, but our understanding of the love of God and focusing on that will help us to obey God. So it's not going to be, I'm not going to do this thing because I will get punished or I get caught. No, it's like, I'm not going to do this because I love God and God doesn't approve of this. And I don't want to do anything that will make or displease God. So I'm not going to do it. Yeah, I'm not going to do it. I won't. When God wants you to do certain things in your life, he wants you to go to certain places, he wants you to do certain things, then you do it because you love him. You do it because you love him. I know that for some people, not everybody, I know we're all consistent. You know, I pay attention quite a lot to people. And, you know, you see this guy, he's just seen a girl that he wants to marry and all that, and he's like there every day, he's sending these text messages, he's doing all these things, and he's like, you know, sending flowers, he's like, oh, are you gonna, why don't I take you out to this restaurant, why don't I do this, and he's doing all those things, then they get married, and it ends, then his wife is like, hang on, what happened to all the moves? You're like, man, that's fine. Just leave that. Do you understand? So we don't want our love to be like that, where we're just doing things to get stuff from God. Or even if we're not doing it to get stuff from God, and we're just doing it because that's what people do anyway, we want our love to transcend all that. Do you understand? And I believe that as we begin to like really understand love in the context of God, in the context of our relationships with one another, then life will be more, I don't know what word to use, life will be more fulfilling. As we have the true perspective of what love really does, what love really is, and why God emphasizes that so much, as we understand it, then it will help our relationships with one another. It will help you if you're single. It will help you if you're married. It will help you in whatever state you're in your life. And in that state, you will still experience the fullness of love as God wants you to, as God has determined that you will experience it, but only as you and I gain the understanding of what this love really means. Do we understand? I'm just going to ask that we rise up this morning and we're just going to pray. So I said, as we come back after the convention, I will continue. But I want us to pray one prayer this morning that Paul the Apostle prayed. prayed. And it's from the book of Ephesians chapter 3, verses 18 and 19. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 18 and 19. And Paul was saying something there. He says, that I may have power together with all God's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. To know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. So this morning is a personal prayer. Do you understand? It's a personal prayer to say, God, maybe I don't really understand what this love is. And maybe I do a bit. But even if I do, deepen my understanding, like Paul is saying here, so that my life can be based on a full understanding of what your love is really saying. So let's just spend that time praying. Our Father and our King, this morning we're just saying thank you for sending Jesus to us. It says you loved us so much that you sent Jesus to die for us. Father, we thank you because you said, even as you have given us freely all things, you gave us your Son. Even as you've given us Jesus, your Son, how will you not truly give us all things? But Father, we don't want to focus on just the things that you give. This morning, we're asking our Father and our King that you would deepen our understanding of your love for us, that you would deepen our perspective of how we should love you so that our lives can be fulfilled. Okay, Father, we pray this in the name of Jesus. Okay, we pray this in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray this in the name of Jesus. I speak concerning anyone that is here, that is experiencing your love in just a little measure. Father, we ask in the name of Jesus that God give us an understanding. Father, I ask, oh God, that you bring healing and strength to every single one who is in a place of dismay, who is in a place of hurt this morning, in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you. Help us, Father. Help us, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Our Father and our King, we just want to thank you. Thank you for all that you're doing for us in our lives. Father, we thank you for sending Jesus to die for us. Thank you for the relationship that you've established through Christ with us. Lord, even as we're looking at love this month, Lord, I'm asking that you give us a deeper understanding, as your word says in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 18 to 19, that we may know this love that passes all understanding, that it will affect our lives, the lives of the people around us, so that we can wake up every day knowing that we are living lives that are fulfilled in your love. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.